Hi, everyone. I'm Fatima Wakil, and I'd also like to say that one of my co-authors, Lauren Wisk, is here, their second author in the audience. Our presentation today is on the relationship between the stress-to-capital ratio during pregnancy and breastfeeding initiation, using findings from the 2007 Los Angeles Mommy and Baby Study, or the LAMB study. First, I'd like to say that I do not have any relationships to disclose. So as we know, breastfeeding initiation is especially important because colostrum found in early breast milk contains important nutrients and antibodies for the infant. And as we know, breastfeeding in general provides important short and long-term benefits for the mother and the infant. And according to the 2010 CDC breastfeeding report card, in the U.S., around 25% of women do not initiate breastfeeding after delivery. And reported barriers to breastfeeding initiation tend to be issues occurring in the postpartum period. However, upstream determinants of breastfeeding initiation, such as risks and resources during pregnancy, have not been adequately explored. So one of the set of resources, we term it as personal capital, is a set of internal and social resources that women may garner during pregnancy that help them cope with or reduce their exposure to stress during pregnancy. And we posit that women who experience greater stress relative to personal capital during pregnancy may be less likely to initiate breastfeeding after delivery. So our research question is, what is the relationship between stress and personal capital in pregnancy in determining the risk of not initiating breastfeeding after delivery among women living in Los Angeles County? So to answer this question, we used data from the 2007 LAMB study, which was a cross-sectional population-based survey of a stratified random sample of mothers who delivered a live infant in Los Angeles County in 2007. A data was collected via a self-administered mailed questionnaire with multiple follow-up attempts by mail and telephone. And the study design and instrument were very similar to the California PRAMS. And our sample size for the current analysis was 3,023 women. So I'd like to talk to you a little bit about our variables. So the stress index was operationalized using perceived stress and severe stressful life events during pregnancy. So perceived stress was measured using a 9-item perceived stress scale. Severe life events was measured using a 7-item subset of a 14-item stressful life events scale, which was adapted from PRAMS. And then a little bit about personal capital. Again, personal capital was defined as internal and social resources that women may garner during pregnancy. And we conceptualize this based on Bronfenbrenner's ecological model, such that at the individual level, we have internal resources such as self-esteem and mastery. At the interpersonal level, we have partner support and social network support. And at the community level, we have neighborhood support. So a little bit more about the measurements we use. For self-esteem, we use the 3-item Rosenberg scale. For mastery, we use the 4-item Perlin mastery scale. For partner support, we use items from the Fragile Family Study from Princeton. Social network support, we use items from PRAMS. And finally, for neighborhood support, we use items from the Project on Human Development in Chicago Neighborhoods, which is one of the seminal studies that has done neighborhood support work. So now I'd like to talk to you a little bit about how we created the stress-to-capital ratio. So first, we reweighted the individual stress and personal capital components based on a conceptual rationale. So for the personal capital index, we weighed proximal resources more heavily than more distal resources because we argued that these would have a more direct impact on our outcome. So internal resources was weighed more heavily than partner support, which was weighed a little bit more heavily than social network support and the neighborhood support. And then for the stress index, we weighed perceived stress twice as heavily as severe life events because life events may not have the same impact on all individuals, and they also tend to be rare and acute, whereas perceived stress tends to be persistent and chronic. And secondly, we standardized the stress and personal capital indices so that both scores ranged from 1 to 100. And here is a percentage distribution of scores on the stress and personal capital indices. So as you can see, women were likely to have slightly higher personal capital scores and slightly lower stress scores, which is what we should probably expect in a population. So to continue on how we created the stress-to-capital ratio, basically we divided the stress index over the personal capital index, and then we transformed this into a natural log ratio in order to ensure symmetric distribution. And we had a range of -2.1 to 1.3. So basically, having a positive score or a score greater than zero signified having greater stress relative to personal capital during pregnancy. So here's our percentage distribution of the stress to capital ratio in our sample, and about 40.8% of women experienced greater stress relative to personal capital. So our outcome variable was lack of breastfeeding initiation. And the question in the instrument was, did you ever breastfeed or pump breast milk to your new baby after delivery? And 21.5% of women in our sample did not initiate breastfeeding after delivery, which is slightly better than the national average. And so for our data analysis, we used multivariable logistic regression models to examine the relationship between the stress to capital ratio and lack of breastfeeding initiation. And we controlled for parity, number of young children in the home, maternal age, race, ethnicity, income, education, marital status, pre-pregnancy depression, prenatal depressive symptoms, experiencing an adverse obstetric outcome, and poor health of the mother or infant after delivery. And analyses were weighted to account for sampling design and sampling non-response. So as you can see here are the significant predictors of the lack of breastfeeding initiation in our final model. As you can see, women who had greater stress stress relative to personal capital during pregnancy were 1.4 times more likely to not initiate breastfeeding after delivery. And also, poor health of the mother or child was the biggest predictor of not initiating breastfeeding. And other salient predictors of not initiating breastfeeding were was low income and having young children in the home. So we conclude that experiencing greater stress relative to personal capital was significantly associated with the lack of breastfeeding initiation. And also number of young children in the home, lower income, and poor health of the mother and infant are also obviously significant predictors of lack of breastfeeding initiation. And most importantly, examining a woman's risks and resources during pregnancy is very critical in determining her likelihood of initiating breastfeeding. So some of the strengths of our study is, to our knowledge, this is the first maternal and child health study that combines stress and personal capital into a summary construct which was associated with breastfeeding initiation. And we employed a conceptually based multidimensional personal capital index, and this is very important because the literature has not adequately defined or measured personal capital in the past. And we also were able to include both psychological and environmental measures of stress in our stress index. And this is important because studies have tended to use unidimensional measures of stress. And finally, we employed a culturally and socioeconomically diverse sample which to better capture breastfeeding behaviors in a pregnant population. I should say postpartum population. Some of our potential limitations is that because the LAMP survey was administered postpartum, responses about stress and personal capital during pregnancy may have been subject to potential recall bias. Also, the weighting schemes for the indices, though conceptually based, may not have accurately captured the relative importance of the individual stress and personal capital measures and may not be applicable to all populations. However, we did try 20 different weighting schemes 20 different ratios based on 5 different weighting schemes for stress and 4 weighting schemes for personal capital, and all of them had very similar association with the outcomes, so we decided to use the one with the best fit. And finally, stress and personal capital measures were confined to available information in our LAM instrument. So, for example, we could not include something like pregnancy-specific stress, or we could not look at other potential measures of personal capital, such as optimism or spirituality. So despite these limitations, we find that our findings warrant public health interventions during the preconception and prenatal periods to increase personal capital among high-stress women in order to improve breastfeeding initiation rates and consequently maternal and child health outcomes. Also, routine assessment of stress and personal capital levels among women who are pregnant women and also those who are planning pregnancy by healthcare providers in order to offer the most appropriate support to women who have high levels of stress or low personal capital. And also, and most importantly, longitudinal research to explore women's risks and resources throughout the life course, especially in preconception and during the interconception periods. Finally, I'd like to acknowledge the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health LAM team, the UCLA LAM team, and also the UW-Madison Life Course Epidemiology and Family Health team, which Lauren and I both work with, and the Health Disparities Research Scholars Program, who supports my research. Thank you.
Before we bring everybody up, we have a few minutes left for questions for Dr. Rakeel. Yeah, all right, then we'll just bring everybody up. and invite your questions in that regard.
Survey, so we were not linked to the individuals.
I have a question. Can you tell us a little bit about the women who were participating in the land study, their representation in Los Angeles County?
Sure.
You really get a good sense of who those women
are. I have some slides. I can help you out with that. So basically, we used a stratified random sample of neighborhoods based on census tracts, and then stratification was used to oversample high-risk tracts. So out of the 135 census tracts that we used, 90 of them were high-risk, and then 45 was low-risk. And obviously, with the weighting, we accounted for that. And then a little bit about, so basically the 2007 LAM study was collected over four waves during the year, and we had about 10,000 women who were recruited overall, and so for this we used 3,000. That's the wrong sample size there, but 3,023 women. But so basically we had a multi-stage cluster sampling design, and then we linked that to birth certificate data so that we could get a lot of background information on the women, and then we were able to proceed.
They left it up to countries because of countries' different levels of resources, and also you have issues with religion, tribes. So every country, just to kind of make a blanket recommendation, there would have been conflict with that. And I know since, for example, South Africa, which has the highest rate of HIV in Sub-Saharan Africa, actually changed their policy. They used to give out free formula. That was their strategy, is that they were going to give every HIV positive mother that came through the clinic free formula. But when this came out and they've seen all of the research showing that the free formula actually was hurting infant health rather than improving infant health in the context of being exposed to HIV. So there are some countries that have redone their guidelines as a result, because they were giving out free formula and they realized that for their context that they should encourage breastfeeding, and a lot of these countries realize that they need to just encourage exclusive breastfeeding for all and not just make it so much of a HIV positive mother's focus, but that if there was more encouragement for exclusive breastfeeding for all, then the mothers wouldn't feel so stigmatized. So there are a lot of countries that are kind of reworking their guidelines, giving the newer guidelines rather from the World Health Organization.
What do you think with the infant feeding pregnancy survey being so oversampled towards white and highly educated? Mm-hmm. How are we going to, in the next round, work at getting a more diverse sample? Because we're still kind of using male surveys and those types of things.
You got any of the questions?
Well, I have nothing to do with the government, so I just take the data, so I don't know. But what do you do with the government? So,
but generally, do you see us changing our survey methodology to start reflecting some of the newer ways in which people connect, and particularly about the next generation of women who are?
Yeah, there are, and with the IFPS too, what Ann mentioned earlier, there is a follow-up study going on, but it's a follow-up study of the women who were in the study already.
There's a new one coming out.
But it's not IFPS 2.
3. We're going to
consumer opinion panel. I mean, it wasn't the most ideal methodology, but it was the first time it was ever done. It was, you know, there are reasons why these things happen. But when you look at, there are other sources of data, not as detailed as IFPS2, such as CRAMS, and there are some special oversamplings going on with certain populations on a trial basis, will be piloted right now in 4 states. So it's recognized as an issue.
As you say, it comes from a consumer panel, so they don't actually just mail it out randomly. They have people who've signed up to do to do surveys, mm-hmm. and then they try to target the women in that, or they ask for people who are pregnant to do this one. So it's coming from a panel of consumers to begin with, which I assume has already got too many non-minorities. Mm-hmm.